The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 25th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a great day here in Sonoma County. You know, next month is going to be the last month of the year, and I just want to remind folks that the last day of the year, which is going to be one day before New Year, I believe it's New Year's Eve on Monday, Ken and I will be doing the show together, so you'll be able to hear a little bit about him. And we're also going to play one of his pieces from his own radio show, Scent of Life. Well, I'm really excited because I have three very special guests with me in the studio from the Sunrise Movement. The Sunrise Movement is a movement to stop climate change and create millions of good jobs in the process. And usually it's led by youth. I mean, it's very exciting that young people are stepping up and telling these adults, come on, wake up, you've got to do something for our future. So joining me in the studio is Christine Burns. She's an organizer with Sunrise Sonoma County and a lifelong educator and climate justice advocate. And also in the room with me is Connie Madden. Connie Madden calls herself an adult supporter of the Sunrise Movement and the young people that are in it, and we'll hear a few words from her. And also we have a young 16-year-old. I mean, it's amazing when I think to myself what I was like at 16 years old. I didn't have these kinds of worries that these young people have. And I'm really excited to have Avanti Borton in the studio with me, who is a high school student and member of the Sunrise Group. It's amazing. It's an amazing group. Reminder, a really strong reminder, our youth are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. For me, the Sunrise Group is a group of young people working to make adults in the room recognize that they are tampering with their future and need to get going with a solution to what is being coined as the number one issue in our country right now, and that is the damage this climate change has already been doing. I mean, look what happened here in Sonoma County in Los Angeles with the fires alone. I mean, come on, let's wake up, folks. You know, I don't understand how people can deny what's right in front of them. It's just amazing. I think it's because we don't like ourselves enough. You know, I was thinking about, you know, many of us in this country call ourselves Christians, and one of the things in the Christian religion, as they say, is love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, yeah, great. I love your neighbor as that's yourself. What does that mean? And who is my neighbor? Well, when you think about living on the planet Earth, we're all neighbors. You know, maybe some just live a little further away or a little bit closer, but we're all neighbors. And we have to start thinking about it. But what does it mean, love yourself as your neighbor or like your neighbor? What does that mean? Well, it means if you truly like yourself and understand who you are as a human being, that you live on a planet, you need good food, good water, good air, you're going to demand that. And when you demand that for yourself because you love yourself, you are taking care of your neighbor. So think about that a little bit. You know, I don't want to go any further into it. Let's just think about it a little bit. Because that's what it's all about, folks, is loving yourself so you can love others. And when you love yourself, you want the best for yourself. And in turn, others will have the best. So just think on that a little bit. Well, this is the last Monday of the month. I can't believe it. Where did November go? And we're going to have Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And a reminder, you know, there are many different ways people celebrate Thanksgiving. We have folks that are going over to Alcatraz Island. They believe that. They're the indigenous people. They call it Indigenous Day. I go to Thanksgiving with my family. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be able to say thank you and to show appreciation and to sit down and have a good meal. And one suggestion I have for this Thanksgiving, don't talk politics. Let's take a break. Remember I just said, love your neighbor as yourself? Well, your family now becomes a neighborhood. And you're all sitting around. Let's give each other a little bit of love on this day. Let's take a break from all this, weeks and weeks of testimony and all kinds of things going on. You know, take this day on Thursday, Thanksgiving, to be thankful for what we have, to be thankful that we're here in a body, we're alive, we're living. You know, very important. Well, you know how it is. Every once in a while, I get a little bit of a rant. But, you know, rants are important. You know, the first letter in rant is R. Let's get real. Anyway, it's the last Monday of the month, and, of course, we do the pledge. And I'm so excited. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people are going to do the pledge this morning, and all you folks out there listening. Now, if you're driving in a car, just listen. Don't do anything that I say. But if you're in your home and you have a nice chair, just sit down, relax, take a nice deep breath. Anyway, here we go. First, I will say it, and then you will repeat after me. You got that? You got the gifs? Okay, 1, 2, 3. My self-esteem. Does not depend on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power. Oh, that feels so good to hear that, and it's like a chorus. Let's say it one more time, just all together. There you have it right in front of you, and I gave you a little card, so I'm going to give you the signal. 1, 2, 3.
My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me.
My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. That is self-love. When you recognize that your self-esteem depends on your relationship with yourself, you know, that self-talk, all that stuff that goes on with us. And also it depends on having some faith in something. You know, me, I call it the great whatever. You know, I used higher power because I think of it as an energy. But if I really had my choice, I would say my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself. And who else? Who knows? Anyway, that's a lot to think about. Well, one last thing I want to do, and then I'm going to bring somebody on the phone that has a real exciting announcement. We're having a complimentary cannabis class here in Sonoma County that we're going to be talking about with a dear friend of mine, Jewel Matheson. But I want to just tell you an interesting thing. You know, our history is really our strength. You know, it really is. And I just want to just do a shout out to the AA. UW, which is the American University Women, for all the work that they do. And it's very interesting. 138 years ago, on November 28th, 1881, was the first organizational meeting is held of the American Association of University Women. And they have 138 years of service to women. And what they do is they're a membership, but they also offer scholarships and support other women who are trying to go to college. Well, lots to think about and lots to do. And, you know, I'm really excited because when we get to the second half of the program, we're going to be talking about another general strike, climate strike, that's going to be happening December 6th, which is really interesting. It's my sister Evelyn's birthday, so a lot of fireworks are going off, Evelyn, on your birthday. And we are going to be talking about that on the second part of the show. But right now, I want to introduce on the telephone, you want to bring her on, Ken, on the telephone, I have with me a very dear friend, Jewel Matheson. Good morning, Jewel.
Good morning, Elaine. I'm so excited to talk with you and your guests.
Yes, come closer to your phone so we can hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, is that better, Ken? Yeah, that's much better. Well, Jewel, I know we're going to be having a special complimentary class facilitated by Dr. Marilyn Hootler, but I also know that you are one of the founding members of the Sonoma Patient Group, one of the largest permitted cannabis dispensaries in Santa Rosa, and you guys are hosting the events. Tell us a little bit about the patient group, the Sonoma Patient Group. Who are you?
Absolutely. Well, just one quick correction. We're not the largest. We're the longest permitted.
Oh, the longest. Okay.
That distinction would go to probably one of our competitors. We're a small mom and pop. We've been there, like I said, longer than most, and we've been strictly medical. So we have a decade of serving our Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, with just our medical with people with medical recommendations, and then with the passage of Prop 64, we are then able to serve adult cannabis users. We were established in 2007. We're right north of Coddingtown, 2425 Cleveland Avenue. We do deliveries. If you go to our website, SonomaPatientGroup.com, you can get hooked up with that. You know, and I do need to say our license number. That's part of my, I'm legally bound to. It's C10-000-0285-LIC. I found my way to the Sonoma Patient Group. I'm a breast cancer survivor, and I went through the traditional path for breast cancer. I went through mastectomy. I had chemo and then radiation. And then I was dealing with the fallout of chemo and the whole process. I was really depressed, Elaine. I was, I was one of that 10% that just didn't handle pharmaceutical antidepressants very well. And my oncologist actually was the one who recommended cannabis. And then I met John, and that was pretty much how I fell into it.
Let me ask you a few questions. So on this complimentary cannabis class that you're going to be having, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think it's very important.
Absolutely.
You know, oftentimes people can, tell their story and people go, they listen. But the most important thing is not necessarily to hear the stories, but to get yourself educated. So let's talk Absolutely. About the upcoming event and what you think, who is Dr. Marilyn Hootler? I have her, let me read this. Let me read this to our listening audience. Dr. Marilyn Hootler is a Harvard-trained, board-certified anesthesiologist with 40 years of practice. She served as a UCF faculty in anesthesia for 5 years, and she's on the March General Staff for 11 years. She's a medical directory, and she has 10 years. It's her 10th year of actually working with cannabis. It says on the flyer that she's actually worked with over 15,000 patients. So tell us a little bit about her. And tell us a little bit about the event that's coming up.
Okay, absolutely. Just one minor correction on her pronunciation of her name.
Okay.
It's Dr. Marilyn Hootler.
Oh, Hootler, okay.
Hootler, and she's been in the area seeing patients for over a decade. I met her, and I just instantly had a respect and love for this woman. She's an elder, and we've been doing classes pretty much focusing on elders. We had been calling this class Cannabis Class for Seniors. This is the first one that we've opened it up to broader, we weren't defining it specifically for seniors. But that's really her specialty. So if you're an elder and you want to get a handle on some of your medical issues, come to this event. It's at the Santa Rosa Central Library, Monday, December 2nd. From noon to 2 o'clock. And so that's a week from today, Central Santa Rosa Library, noon to 2. And Dr. Hootler is just a master at communicating to elders. So bring your questions. She has a section at the end of her presentation where she opens it up to a question and answer period. I learned so much from that section alone. Because, I've been doing this for a couple of years with her, so I kind of have a presentation down, but that is such a rich segment for learning, and you bringing your own issues and questions to her, and she will speak with you directly, targeting your specific ailment.
Well, Jewel, let me give folks the exact address and the time. It's from noon to 2, right? Mm-hmm. Monday, December 2nd. That's yes. coming up very quickly at the Santa Rosa Central Library, 211 East Street in Santa Rosa. Is there any website or any way that they can contact you?
You know what? You can go to sonomapatientgroup.com. You can always leave a message for me at our phone number, and that's area code 707-526-2800. We are one of those cannabis dispensaries that do answer their phones. So if you're an elder and you're not understanding our website, call us. We'll help you through. If you're trying to get delivery, we'll walk you through that and help you with that. So we're very accessible. Our premium, what we really strive to do is give really excellent customer service, and particularly to those that are navigating cannabis for the first time.
Anyway, Jewel Matheson, who is one of the founders, actually, of the Sonoma Patient Group, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces and telling us this very valuable information. And just to let our listeners know that if you go to www.womenspaces.com, all this information will be there. And thank you so much, Jewel, and I wish you much, much success with the seminar and the class, rather.
All right. Thank you so much, Elaine. And I just have so much respect for your participation in the women's community here. Thank you again for your hard work.
Thank you, my love. Wow, so much going on. You know, we are so, you know, again, talking about Thanksgiving. I mean, when you listen, I mean, cannabis is now coming, it has finally come out of the closet, finally we're using it as a medicine. One of the blessings that we can say in 2019 that all these things are coming into fruition. And thank you, Jewel, and all the people like you who have worked so hard to bring this, to bring education to the community and to bring healing to the community. And I know Jewel is facing a few of her own challenges right now, and once they are over, once she's got a handle on it, we're going to do another interview and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about this issue. Well, we are going to take a musical break, and the song I will be playing is People Have the Power, sung by Patti Smith. And the reason that I chose this song, and it's really interesting, I mean, I never even heard of Patti Smith. And what I do is I have iTunes, and I run up and down always looking for all these songs that our women are singing. And I thought, oh, here's an interesting one. And I'll tell you, I've been listening to this song when I feel a little bit discouraged, or all of a sudden I get really pissed off because someone said something and I don't like it. I go and I play that song, and I'm once again on fire to do what I think is the right thing to do. And one of the things I hope, I mean, I have my fingers crossed because I've talked to her agent, is that I will be having Patti Smith on one day, because she is just a marvelous, marvelous entertainer. And speaking of guests, I want to remind people that next Monday, that's going to be December 2nd, it's a very important date because I'm bringing on, again, Dr. Harriet Fraud. You know, Dr. Fraud is a regular on Richard Wolff's Economic Update, and she's just, as far as I'm concerned, other than my friend Susan Lamont, make that clear, other than my friend Susan, Harriet Fraud to me is one of the most brilliant women in the whole world. And, you know, it's come up so many times. I listen to the radio, I listen to television, you know, they're screaming, socialism, you're a communist, you know, capitalism is bad. And I say to myself, what are they really talking about? What is socialism? What is capitalism? What is communism? What is free trade? And all these other things that we hear. And we really have, I have a conception or an idea about it, but I really don't know what it's all about. So I have invited her on, and our topic is we're going to be talking about the definition of democracy, the definition of capitalism, the definition of socialism, and the definition of communism, to give people a clearer picture of what we're talking about. And I want to tell you a funny story. When I was in high school, I went to Fairfax High School. My father, as I've mentioned many, many times, was a union man. And Mr. Ritterhoff was my teacher, and I raised my hand, and I said, Mr. Ritterhoff, I says, if the communists are such a threat, why don't we study it? Next thing I know, I'm in the girls' vice principal's office, and they're asking me about my father. And this was during the McCarthy era when they, you know, all of a sudden communism was like a four-letter word. And I never forgot that experience. Like, I wanted to learn. I didn't want to participate. I wanted to learn and make a decision based on what I learned, rather than the fears and people getting blacklisted and all the stuff that went on around communism. And I didn't even know what it really meant. I really didn't. And I still don't know what it really means. So I think it'll be a real good exercise to join in on December 2nd, and we're going to listen to Dr. Harriet Fraud. Well, now let's go ahead and let's listen to this wonderful song, People Have the Power, sung by Patti Smith. And when we return, I have in the studio with me, I have Christine Byrne, and I have Avani Borton, and I also have Connie Madden, and they are all from the Sunrise Movement, and we'll be talking about climate change and their involvement, and the third climate strike that's happening on December 6th. So let's go ahead and listen to Patti Smith. We are People Have the Power.
Dreaming, world of an aspect bright and fair. In my sleeping, it was broken, but my dream, it lingered near in the form of shining valleys. Oh, where the pure air recognized, and my senses are newly opened. Well, I awakened into the cry. The people have the power to redeem the world from fools. Upon the meek, the grace is shower. Well, it's decreed the people rule. People have the power. People have. And bending low as if to hear. Well, then the armies ceased advancing because the people had their ear. And the shepherds and the soldiers, well, they laid beneath the stars, exchanging visions, laying arms to waste in the dust, in the form of shining valleys, oh, where the pure air are recognized, and my senses are newly opened, and I awakened to the cry. People have the power. People have the power. I saw fountains and like cream, the waters rise, and we strolled there together. When none to laugh, nor criticize. Well, then the leopard and the lamb lay together. Oh, truly bound. Well, I was hoping, in my hoping. surrender into my sleeping. Well, I commit my dream to you. People have the power. People have the power. People have the power. People have the power. The power to dream.
Don't realize it, but we do. I love this line that the people have the power to redeem the work of fools. Upon the meek the grace is shower. It's decreed the people rule. Beautiful, 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 beautiful poetry. For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, and as I introduce your name, just say a few words so people can identify your voice. Christine Bourne.
Hello, my name is Christine Bourne. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Really loved listening to that song as well, because people power is really what we are doing and building as Sunrise Sonoma County.
Christine is an organizer with the Sunrise Sonoma County and a lifelong educator and climate justice advocate. Well, welcome, Christine. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Sitting next to her is Avina Borton, did I pronounce that right?
It's Avani Borton.
Avani Borton, and who is a high school student and is a member of the group. Welcome to Women's Spaces. She's our youngest person here, 16 years old. I mean, it's very, very exciting that the youth is on the movement, and I'm very proud to have you here in the studio with me. And then I have with me Connie Madden. Connie, you want to introduce yourself? And she calls herself an adult supporter for the Sunrise Movement.
Well, that's the whole plan. It's a youth-led group, age is 13 to 35, and so us elder people have to figure out how we can best be supportive, because they're going at it with great steam and skill, and I'm just happy to be able to do anything helpful.
Well, I'm happy you're here, because I remember, like I was talking to you before we got on the air, when I was protesting the Vietnam War, how the divide in the families was horrible, and it's wonderful to have young people doing the work. Well, let me tell, is it okay if I tell my listeners just a little bit about you? Christina Byrne is an organizer with the Sunrise Sonoma County and a lifelong educator and climate justice advocate. She graduated from UC Berkeley, where she studied conservation and resource studies with a focus on environmental education. She has a passion for teaching environmental and outdoor education and has taught in a number of schools, including San Mateo Outdoor Education for the Oakland School District. And most recently, as a high school science teacher at Roseland College Prep, she is now transitioning to climate justice work full-time, because she knows that we must do everything we can to fight for the people and the planet we live on. Very impressive, Christine. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the work you do. And listen, and Avani, you're going to high school. Tell us a little bit about you. You know, I'd like to. You're a 16-year-old student at the Sonoma Academy and a resident of Sonoma County, and you've lived in many, many different areas. And also, I want to tell my listeners the most exciting thing about this is the first time that you're on the radio. So just tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it, 16 years old, what all of a sudden you decided you're going to become part of this group? What made you aware of that there's even a problem?
Well, honestly, it didn't feel like much of a choice. I see the devastation all around me. I think we all do. And my friends and I talk about it all the time. What can we do to help? And I think the hardest part is just knowing where your place is in the movement. And what Sunrise does and did for me is to create a space for me to channel my passion somewhere, for me to channel my anger and to help. And so I think that in addition to having Christine as a tie to the Sunrise movement, what really got me started is also knowing that my siblings, I have three sisters, but two of whom are six and three. I'm sorry, they're seven and four, actually. They just had birthdays. But
what are the names?
Ramona and Rigby. And knowing that they have already experienced three fires in their lifetimes, and they don't know anything else. They don't know that this is weird to have the air that you can't breathe, and they don't know that it's odd to be missing so much of school. And honestly, they're scared. And every time my second youngest sister, Ramona, hears about a fire or she hears us talking about smoke or something, she gets really nervous. And I remember the last time, I remember her saying, "Mom," and the fires were far away at this point, and she heard about them, and she said, "Mom, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. Please let me stay home. I want to be safe." And she was really worried for her safety, and that's not the way I want them to grow up.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that because you're telling the inside story. You know, oftentimes, you know, we don't think about how our children are affected, how our dogs are affected. I mean, let's talk about dogs because if I put a dog on the air, you know, on the Facebook, everybody responds to it, you know, what your dogs are. And here you're telling the story of your seven-year-old sister. You know, she's here, seven-year-old, you know, she should be out there playing with the Jacks and Hopscotch, not be worried about if there's going to be a fire. So thank you so much for that, you know. I mean, that's very... So what did you do? How did you find Sunrise? I mean, and what was... Did you got together with your friends? You talked about it, but how did you know to go get this group? How did you know it was happening?
So actually, I had a tie through Christine, like I mentioned. She took over the Sunrise Hub in August, and because I know Christine through my dad, she's my dad's girlfriend, Christine...
wait, oh boy, I love women's spaces. Okay, go ahead.
So Christine invited me to go tabling for an event at Sunrise, which was at the Somo Village in Roner Park, and there I ended up just agreeing to be social media manager because I started taking over the Instagram, and she said, "Okay, you're good at this. Will you help us do this? You know, we need a young person." And I couldn't stop there. I had to get more involved. So from there, I started attending meetings that we started having. I've been tabling at events and speaking on behalf of Sunrise. And so, yeah.
Now, what I want to do is, the reason I kind of want to interrupt here is I want to just tell people what Sunrise really is. Sunrise is a movement to stop climate change and create millions of good jobs in the process. So they're very supportive of the Green New Deal. That's my assumption. They're building an army of young people to make climate change an urgent priority across America, and the corrupting influence of fossil fuel executives on our politics. And, you know, a good example of that, folks, is with PG&E. You know, here we had this massive fire because the pole was not constructed properly, and that millions of dollars went to their CEOs. You know, this is really a problem we have that we have to face. And elect leaders who stand up for the health and well-being of all people. Then they go on to say, "We are ordinary young people who are scared about what the climate crisis means for the people and the places we live," which you explain very, very articulately. Christine, why don't you come in and join the conversation? How did you get involved with Sunrise? I mean, it's really interesting to learn about the family dynamics. I mean, that even makes it more powerful. You know, the fact that there's a family that cares and is doing something and looking at maybe the future of those 7-year-old and those 4-year-old and, of course, the 16-year-old also. So tell us how you got involved.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I first found Sunrise about a year ago, because about a year ago to this day, a whole bunch of young people in Washington, D.C. staged a sit-in in Nancy Pelosi's office, and hundreds of young people were arrested, and what they were doing was they were demanding a Green New Deal and also a livable future at this event. And I saw this online. It went viral. It was on Facebook. It was on Instagram. And at the time, I was working as a high school science teacher in Roseland Collegiate Prep High School. And I was like, this is something that is so important. I need to show my students what is going on. I need to show my students that people that are their same age are standing up right now for a livable future and for their lives. So what I did is put that on the screen, showed my students this thing, and began to think, what is Sunrise? What is this movement? Since then, Sunrise has grown to include hundreds of hubs across the country. It's a decentralized movement, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young people have joined this movement as well. So luckily, I'm in a career transition. I hike support in the Appalachian Trail this summer. All I thought about the whole time was the climate crisis and what was going on back home in communities across the United States dealing with climate disasters. So when I got home in August, decided to take over Sonoma County Sunrise Hub, and we grew from a hub of being probably just 3 active members to having 30-plus active members at this point. So we've gained a lot of momentum, and I think we've gained momentum in large part because people are waking up, people are realizing that the time to act is now, and we must grow our people power and demand that our politicians listen to our demands and listen to the facts that, you know, Ramona and Rigby and Avani and all these young people are saying, we demand a future.
You know, it's amazing that we have to say we have to demand of our leaders. We elect them to represent us and to make sure that there's fairness and there's quality of life, you know, and yet we have to demand, we have to protest. I mean, any of you people out there that are elected officials, you know, start doing your job. You're really a public servant. That's what you say. That's what you do when you campaign. You say, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to take care of you. Well, let's start doing it. Now, Connie, let's hear from you a little bit. You are an adult supporter. Just give us a real brief idea of what an adult supporter is, because I think it's very important. I think it's important that adults get in there and support this action.
Well, I'm pleased that I had a long background in public relations and mainly haven't been using it, just little bits here and there, and I'm also a writer. So I did an article for Sonoma County Gazette. That'll be in the December issue. Just looking around for what is useful, and the stars are the kids, the young women and men who are at the Sunrise membership. So it's a wonderful opportunity to use, you know, some of my skills. In the case, everybody's got different things to bring to the table. My partner's doing a lot of graphics. He has a good engineering mind, and he started public access TV at one point. So, we're not leadership. We're taking direction from the young people and just seeing where whatever we have to offer can fit into what they need.
Well, you gave me a good reminder, because I also write for the Snippets, and this month it's going to be out early. It's going to be out in about maybe 2 or 3 days now, so watch for it. You're going to have a good climate article in there. And thank you for sharing that, and thank you for being here, all three of you. So, you know, what are some of the... Let's talk to you, Avanti. What were some of the challenges that you have met? Like, for example, going to school, and all of a sudden you're fired up about this, and you're trying to get people to get together with you. What are some of the challenges you meet, and what message are you trying to give young people?
Thank you for that question. Honestly, I have met quite a few challenges, especially in just trying to balance all that I'm doing. And you know, getting involved in climate activism is so amazing, but it can take up a lot of time. And trying to balance.
Activism is volunteer work, and it's a full-time job, as you're finding
as
out.
As Christine really knows, yeah. So for me, the hardest part about this is probably trying to get other students to understand that they have a place in this movement, and that everybody has a place in this movement, and that, like, honestly, a lot of them feel... They definitely feel like they want to help, but they didn't feel included by other movements, and that's why the Sunrise is so great, and to me, because they open their spaces to everyone, and that includes everyone of all races, all nationalities, LGBTQ, everybody. And so also just helping them understand that we are all learning. This movement is new. Our hub, our Sonoma County hub, is super new, and when I got involved, I didn't have fancy answers to all the questions, you know. I had to learn just along with the rest of them. So,
you had to learn. You mean you had to read a book or look up on the internet something, you know, about climate? No, good job.
Exactly. And so yeah, that's one of the challenges, is getting new people to join and for them to feel like they can actually make a difference. Another one of the challenges is school, honestly, because my school does not support skipping school at all, obviously, but it can be tough because they have a very strict policy and they don't bend it for anything, including climate-related activism. So when it comes to missing for strikes or walking out because of the climate, they still put the same consequences as if I was just missing school because I felt like it, which didn't feel fair. So I'm working with students in my school at Sonoma Academy to actually change those rules and to make a new agreement on how we're going to address this problem of the climate and how we're gonna create new rules so that people can actually be involved in climate activism and still be in school.
Well, I want to do a shout out for you because you've learned one of the most valuable lessons of activism, and that is not everybody plays along with you, and you have to start looking at their rules. And the idea that you're willing to stand up and say, hey, listen, I want this to change, and you're willing to move forward. And that is not easy. Let's put it that way, you know, and very difficult. You know, when I went to Sonoma State and I was part of women's studies, and even as open as everybody was, it was still challenging just to get people together to understand the importance of women coming together. So my hat's off to you, my love. Okay, just out of curiosity, and also you, Christine, where do you guys get your courage? You know, where do you get that? You know, when, you know, I know when, you know, like sometimes, you know, even just to getting on the radio, you know, where do I get my courage? I read the pledge, you know, I meditate before I go on, you know, the night before when I go to sleep, I do a little prayer. So I know when I get up in the morning on Monday, I'll be able to face the challenge of being on the radio and doing a good show. Where do you get Christine, where do you get your courage? Where does it come from? Besides the desire to help, I mean, what do you tell yourself, your self-talk, or anything you like to share, or you're able to stay confident and stay?
I really gain my confidence from knowing that this is so urgent, from knowing that the time to act is now, from knowing that we have 11 years left to make drastic changes to every societal structure that we have in place in order to preserve our world and also preserve the people on the world and avert climate catastrophe. So I draw my confidence and draw that bravery from knowing that, like, there's no other option. There is no planet B. Like, we must act as humanity now, and we must act quickly and act drastically. And so I am able to show up on the radio because I know there's kind of no other option but to be active in this movement.
So really your courage is coming from learning, from understanding that there's a problem and not being afraid to confront it. I mean, that's very interesting the way you put it. How about you, Avanti?
My courage, I would say, comes from the fact that I know that me doing this, you know, radio talk show and me interviewing or me standing up and talking about Sunrise in front of big crowds gives other young people the courage to join the movement. And, you know, and just to say and to show people that I was never a particularly passionate little kid. I'm not a person who really much enjoys being the center of attention or anything, but I had to, and we all have to find our place in this movement because it's urgent. And so for me, this just happened to be my place, but anybody can do it. And so I think that's the message I hope I'm conveying.
Well, maybe what people have to do is what you did, listen to their little 7-year-old child and, you know, how their fears and some of the things that are going on. Well, let's get into, you know, what is, you know, there's a lot of talk, an awful lot of talk about a topic called climate justice. You know, I hear that a lot. What does that mean? Who would like to take that on first? How about you, Christine? Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So climate justice is the idea that if we want to create a future that is actually equitable, we need to make sure to include all people in that. We need to make sure that we lift up the voices of people that are marginalized. We need to make sure that we lift up the voices of the poor. We need to make sure that we're lifting up the voices of the frontline communities. And more than that, make sure that they are sitting at the table with us when we are creating the future that we wish to see. So climate justice is more than just an environmental movement. It's a social justice movement. It's making sure that people who have been disenfranchised forever are actually going to gain the rights that they deserve. And, you know, environmentalism, for a long time, we thought that if we used our reusable bag and went to the grocery store, then we could stop climate change. Or if we rode our bike everywhere, then we could stop climate change. Or bought an electric vehicle. All those things are, like, really, really good things, and we still need to do those things. But right now, our movement needs to be bigger than that. Right now, we need to have that people power and also political power in order to make big changes. We need to pass a Green New Deal here nationally and also here in Sonoma County and make sure that we have a future that is actually just, that people who are marginalized actually have a future that is viable and safe and good for everyone.
You know, it's interesting. I hate the word marginalized because when I think of marginalized citizens, you know, we're all citizens of the earth. All money, all profit, everything has to do with the earth. You either got dirt in it or sand or something. Everything has earth in it that we need to learn how to share into it. And once you start talking, that's why the interview that I'm going to have with Harriet Fraud is so important, because once you use the word, you got to share everything. Before you know it, everybody's got this ism at you, you know. Instead of, you know, it's interesting. People will say, well, you're a liberal. And I say, wait a minute, I believe in medical for all. I believe in climate change, we have to do something. I believe in education. I believe in libraries. You know, I believe in clean air and water. I say, no, I'm not a liberal. I'm a humanist. And that's what you're talking about, human beings trying to get together. What is your knowledge about climate justice? What is your thought on it, Avanti?
Well, I thought Christine spoke really beautifully to it. But basically, yeah, just to include all people in fighting for our climate and just, like she said, lifting up the voices of especially the youth and making everyone feel like they have a part in this movement and working together, because that's how we're going to get things done.
Yeah, come on, people. Let's come together. Love one another. Get this problem solved. Well, let's talk about today. What's happening now? What's happening December 6th? We're going to have this next, I believe this is the third climate strike, the third walkout. And I wish you luck, you know. And, you know, every action has a consequence. And you have to ask yourself, you know, if you're willing to pay the consequences because you know you're not hurting anybody, but they're really hurting you by not allowing it, stand strong. You know, just stand strong, my love. Okay, so let's talk about December 6th. What is happening? Go ahead, Vonti, tell us. I know you have all kinds of things. I looked at the flyer. I think it's till 7 o'clock.
Yes, yeah. We have a big day planned for December 6th. So the idea is we're going to start at 12. Staging die-ins across the county at schools. And a die-in, for those of you who don't know what it is basically when people fake their death by lying down in a big space all together, and they die as if they were dying from something that happened because of climate change. So it might say, I died because of air pollution. They might hold a sign And typically in bigger die-ins, you have someone sing them back to life. It's very ceremonial, and you'll have a lot of people doing it. And typically when people die, they stay dead for about 10 or 15 minutes. So I believe that we are asking them to stay dead for 11 minutes. Yes, and so people will be doing that during the school day so that they do not have to leave school, so that more people can be included in the movement. Because what we were looking at in creating this next strike, which Sunrise is the one who created this strike on December 6th.
Wait a minute. So you're actually, you have a plan where in the schools, the students are going to do that.
Yes, yes. So we wanted to include all students, and we were noticing that a lot of the schools just could not let their students, you know, they couldn't let their students go off campus for these strikes anymore because people are missing a lot of school, especially after the fires. So we wanted to be sensitive to that and just to get as many people doing this as possible because that's where the power is. So our idea is that people will be doing this in their school. For instance, our school, Sonoma Academy, is going to be doing it in a central location where everybody can see us, sort of in a little plaza that is right by the cafeteria and all the classes. So we will be dying in that square area. And other schools, I think, have it planned in the front of their school or other locations. I'm not exactly sure.
So the schools are working with you on this.
Yes.
Well,
so.
Shout out to them. That's very important. Support our youth, you know.
I mean, and
again, this is how adults play a part here, and that's why we need adult support, because adults are the ones that say, you can do this in the school. Go ahead. At 5 o'clock?
Yes. So after the 12 o'clock die-in, at 5 p.m., we are asking everyone to come to Juilliard Park. That means everyone in the county, anyone who can come to Juilliard Park in Santa Rosa. And there we will be walking for 15 minutes to Courthouse Square. That walk will be, it'll be a silent march in remembrance of everyone who has been affected by the climate change we're experiencing, in remembrance of the fire victims, of all the victims of climate change. And we'll be holding lights and signs, but it'll be silent for the majority of it. Then once we get close to Courthouse Square, we will break out in song. Song is a super important part of the Sunrise Movement. And we have a few key songs that we usually share at every meeting.
Can I say something here? Mm-hmm. I want to say hello if Sierra Dawn is listening. She's your song leader.
Yes.
Hello, Sierra. We miss you. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Sierra. She is our song leader. She's amazing, has a beautiful voice, and she's really been a huge part of the Sunrise Sonoma County movement. We couldn't do it without her. So yes, we will be led in song to Courthouse Square, and there we will hold speakers. We are going to hold our rally there. We're going to have climate speakers. We're going to have people singing, doing poetry, and hopefully some hot beverages, and just create a good community there where we can all talk about this problem and learn more.
So remember, all this information will be on www.womenspaces.com in case you missed it. So it's going to start at 12. It's going to start at the schools, and then at 5 o'clock, everybody meets at Juilliard Park. Then we're going to have a candlelight vigil and march over to Old Courthouse Square, and then from 6 to 7, it's going to be all kinds of good speeches. And folks, I really want to encourage you to come out, because what was so stunning to me when I went to the second one, it was downtown at the Courthouse Square, I was amazed at what I learned. I was amazed at how articulate our young people are. You know, sometimes we forget about youth, you know, like, oh, well, you know, we kind of put them on the side. You know, they're very, very bright, very articulate, very knowledgeable, a lot to know. Okay, we're coming to the end. We're just about to the end of our segment here. And is there any final words? Would you like to say something, Christine, anything about giving a website, anything that you'd like to offer, anything you'd like to say, Avanti? Go ahead, Christine.
Yeah, I just say, please come out, please join us on December 6th for this youth-led climate strike. This is happening globally. So this is happening in cities, communities around the world. Here in Sonoma County, our localized hub is leading, once again, the climate march and also climate vigil in downtown Santa Rosa from 5 to 7 p.m. To find out more information, you can look on our Facebook page, which is Sunrise Sonoma County Hub. Also, across social media platforms at Sunrise SoCo. You can also email us at sunrisesoco, that's Sonoma County, sunrisesoco, at gmail.com for more information.
You got to leave all that with me. Email it to me so we put it on the website. Yes. Last words, Avante.
Yeah, and I would just like to add that everyone has a place, and that if you can't be here in Sonoma County, or if you're out of town, if you can't make it to the Santa Rosa, please find a strike. Please find something to join on December 6th elsewhere, wherever you are. And please, everybody, just get involved and come out.
Thank you, Avante. And how about you, Connie? Any last words?
Yeah.
Just got to make it quick.
Sunrise is partly focused on holding politicians' feet to the fire. So let's support Sunrise in every way we can to flip the Senate and get the Green New Deal. And what they say is moral disruption till we get the Green New Deal.
Well, thank you. Thank the three of you. A special thank you to Christine Byrne. Thank you so much for organizer with Sunrise Sonoma County and a lifelong educator and climate justice advocate, and to Avante Borton, who is a high school student and member of the group. Thank you so much for what you do, and Connie Madden for being such a strong advocate and for being an adult supporter. I love that. Adult supporter. Count me in. I'm an adult supporter. Thank you all three for being here. And remember, folks, the strike is going to be on Friday, December 6th. It's going to be starting at Juilliard Park and ending up at Old Courthouse Square. Well, that's it for our show, and a special thank you to these wonderful people for being here. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be on again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm excited I get to listen to myself. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements like a birthday, an anniversary, a birth, hey, go for it. Anyway, you've been listening to Women's Spaces, and my name is Elaine B. Holtz, and you know, Thanksgiving is here, and I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And remember, when you're sitting around the table, look at all your, one of the things we do at our family, and I hope you do it at yours too, is we go around the table and we let everybody know what we're thankful for. And what I'm thankful for is I'm thankful to be here on the radio, bringing all these wonderful people here. Please pay attention, do something, stand up. If you can't speak out, take your pen, write a check, donate, you know, go to marches. You know, we're in big trouble here, and our children are our future. Never lose sight of that.
Because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 25th, 2019.